Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us with Nothing But the Truth with Pastor Katie Pierce and Truth Deliverance Ministry. We do so appreciate your calling in and joining in with us on tonight as we touch base on the subject matter, Jesus Touches the Untouchables, or even just dealing with those who we've considered as untouchable. And so as we begin to look at some items on tonight and go over some things, actually it's a scripture that I've ministered on at Truth Deliverance, and probably some of you have heard before, but we definitely want to go back on it in light of the situation on today with the young male Tyshawn, I believe, Lee, the little boy who was laid to rest on today because of violence. And this violence had overwhelmed and taken his life. And we just want to begin to touch bases on some things with reference to that. That's what made me kind of come to this conclusion of this subject matter of the untouchables, because there are people who we deemed that are not worthy of God's salvation. There are those who we've left out to die in sin, and that is not what God has called us to do. We have to redeem what we consider the unredeemable. Come on, somebody. And so as we just kind of look at this subject matter on tonight, I'm praying that some things will become exposed and some things will come to light or shed light on the subject matter that we need to really take a closer look at. So if we can just begin in prayer. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come now before your sight and before your presence, O Lord God. We come, O God, again to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, workmen who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We come now, God, asking in the mighty matchless name of Jesus that you would begin to just minister to us in areas, O God, that we've closed off to you, God. Begin to open our mind, O Lord God. Begin to open our heart, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Begin to move back even scales that have been unbeknownst to us, oh Lord God. We didn't even realize that our hearts have become hardened to some things, oh God. But I pray now in the name of Jesus that there would be a shedding away, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Huh? Let there be a shedding away, oh Lord God, that the illuminating light of Christ will shine into our hearts, oh Lord God, and that we will be that beacon that you desire us to be in this world, oh Lord God, in a dying world, oh Lord God, in a world where there's seems to be tumultuous winds and tumultuous storms and things that we don't seem to be able to combat, oh God. Remove the hardness of our hearts, oh God. Let the light of Christ may shine in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. And we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so. And so it is. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Those of you that have your Bible, if you would be so kind as to turn with me to Mark the first chapter. Mark the first chapter. Mark the first chapter. If you could get your Bibles and turn with me. Mark first chapter. And I want to start at the 40th verse and read down through the 45th verse. Mark 1, 40 through 45. If you're getting your Bible. Get you an ink pen, and let's get ready for some study. Amen. Again, Mark 1, first chapter, verses 40, the Bible says, a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you want to, you can heal me again, he said. And moved with pity, Jesus touched him. I want to, he said, be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared. The man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on his way and told him sternly, go right over to the priest and let him examine you. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy, so everyone will have proof of your healing. But as the man went on his way, he spread the news telling everyone what had happened to him. As a result, such crowds soon surrounded Jesus that he couldn't enter the town anywhere publicly. He had to stay out in the secluded places, and people from everywhere came to him there. Amen. And the reading of the Lord is blessed, but we ask that he would add a blessing to the reader, the hearer, and the doer of his word. Amen. And so in this particular scripture, I had preached on it before because leprosy, of course, being something that was a disease that was noted to be highly contagious. In the Bible, the word leprosy is mentioned about 40 times, depending on the version that you use. Leprosy was common in Bible times, and many references to it were well understood by those who lived in unsanitary conditions. The main reason why leprosy is talked about so much in the Bible is that it was a graphic illustration of sin's destructive power. Leprosy was symbolic of, or it gave a representation to, sin and what sin does to the body. Okay, so God had given Israelites very specific instructions on how to deal with leprosy. If you go over to the book of Leviticus, Leviticus 13 chapter talks about leprosy. It talks about what they needed to do for those who were lepers and how they were to be set off apart or set apart from the rest of the healthy community, because this skin infection or this skin disease was known to be, again, highly contagious. And so they had to be really, really careful as to how they were separated, or they had to be confined or quarantined, if you will, from the rest of the public. Anyone suspected of having this disease had to go to a priest for examination. And if they were found to be infected, the leprous person who had the disease would tear their clothes and let the hair of their heads hang loose. And he would cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He had to actually make himself known to others who may have been coming around him unbeknownst that he was a person who was unclean, so that they wouldn't come up and really open themselves up to this disease. He would remain unclean as long as he had the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. He would dwell. His dwelling would be outside the camp in Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46. The leper was considered utterly unclean. And so as we begin to look at leprosy and we look at the effects of leprosy, we find out that they had to go through some things. There were some things that were required that they had to do by law. In order for them to, first of all, be diagnosed with the leprosy, and then once they were diagnosed with the leprosy, there were some things or some precautions that had to be made in order that they would not become infectious to those who are around them. My God, okay. And so as we begin to look at it, we can then understand how leprosy can be related to somewhat to sin and how we need to separate ourselves from sin, okay? And so as we begin to look at the scripture and going back to the scripture, this man who has leprosy, what I found to be interesting in the scripture was the fact that here we have a man with leprosy, a man who's been deemed unclean, and yet here he finds himself kneeled before Jesus begging to be healed. Okay, but and if you go back in Leviticus, it said that this person was supposed to be quarantined. They're not even supposed to be out among people. They're supposed to live by themselves. They're supposed to live in seclusion until such a time that they're ready. They feel like they've been healed and they're ready to go before the priest. Now, the amazing thing is that here we find here this leper who denotes or wants Jesus to heal him. He's going before the priest, but he's not going before the priest in the same order that the Bible in Leviticus is telling him to. He's going before the priest to become healed, whereas the Bible or in Leviticus, it denotes that the person goes before the priest when they feel like they have been healed and the priest can deem them clean. My God. And so as I was looking today online and looking at all of the events that was surrounding our little Taishwan, and I could be enunciating his name wrong, so I'm just going to say, hear out our little brother, Mr. Lee, little Lee, who was buried and laid to rest on today, who found himself in a situation and a circumstance where his father was a documented gangbanger, which I'm still trying to find out or get clarity on how we have documentation of gangbangers, but that's not our subject matter on tonight. So we have this man who was a documented gangbanger because of the life that he chose, the wrath of it or the outcome of it or whatever came upon his son. And so now they're funeralizing, they're burying, they're laying to rest this young boy who is caught up in a situation that his father chose. And he's being led to rest. And in my thinking, as I was looking at the snippets of the eulogy that was given so eloquently by our own Father Flager, as I looked at all the preachers and all of those who surrounded the mother and the father, I had to but wonder, had anybody talk to them about Jesus Christ? Had anybody, you know, were they in their salvation? Have they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? I can't remember in any of the interviews as to the mom saying something. I heard her pouring out her heart. It's so much infectiousness with this horrific turn of events. The matter seems to compound and grow in areas that is almost despicable, if you will, just surrounding some things. But the heart of the matter is, I wonder in myself, because we get caught up in the fact that here we have this little innocent child. We want to say an innocent child who was being brought up under his father, who was a known or a documented, and I'm doing the quote signal, a documented gangbanger who's lost his life, and who's reaching out to him and saying, you know, there's a more excellent way? Or have we deemed him untouchable? Do we hear him crying out in our own ear, unclean, unclean, and we've decided that we'll go another way because this person is unclean, or because we think that this person is unworthy, or we feel like they've made some decisions and we've come to denote, or we've come to the conclusion that there is no turnaround for Lee Sr. How are we looking at him? And my heart began to bleed as I looked at the situation. I began instantly to begin to pray and ask God to have mercy upon this father, because not only was that happening, now we have a situation where they were telling people, to my understanding, to stay off the streets because they were looking for some type of retaliation, some type of backlash to happen because of this documented gangbanger. And so now people have got to quarantine themselves, or everybody should stay in the house and try not to come outside. Nobody has said how long you're supposed to stay in your house. But that's the remedy that they found for it. So I began to think about not only him, but others who have, my God, others who have found themselves in some situation, and we've deemed them untouchable. We've deemed them unclean. We look at our young people on today and the choices that they make in their lives, and we've decided that they're untouchable or they're unclean. And so we stay away from them. We back away from them when God has given us the keys to the kingdom. And we know it noted in Matthew 28, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. All the world, the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost in the book of Matthew 28. But yet we find the Christians pulling back. We find the Christians. I even wondered in my own mindset, how many will miss Bible study tonight and tomorrow because they've been told to stay off the street? And yes, you have to use wisdom. Yes, you have to use wisdom. But at the same time, I'm wondering how many pastors have raised up and said, let's call a fast. Let's call a prayer meeting. Let's begin to intercede and begin to stand up and begin to take back our streets and take back that which the enemy. Let's begin to make these people who we've deemed as unclean, as untouchable. Let's get them to a place where they can go and present themselves to the priest. And, of course, I'm not talking about the priest in the Old Testament. I'm talking about the high priest being Jesus the Christ. Oh, my God. How do we get them to a place of being even like this leper, that they would come begging to be healed? What situation or what circumstance have we noted them or let them see in us our light in that they feel like the answer is within us? I can remember when on the onset of all of this tumultuousness and they began to tell us how they needed mentors. They needed mentors to begin to mentor our young men because we could see that this thing was spiraling, and it was spiraling down, whereas our young men were being pulled into some situations and circumstances, and they started asking people to mentor. And people, you could literally see the officials, if you will, the state official and the city officials turning from the church, and they began to turn to other avenues to try and find an answer because they didn't feel like the answer had been adequately addressed from the household of faith. And so as I began to look at this, as I began to really, really sit there and look at this little red casket being laid to rest, and begin to think about what is it that we can do that there will be a turnaround in this situation, and that this, Lord, should be the last child that's killed in the manner of which he was. And so I began to look at some things and begin to say, what can we do? What can we set in place? What can we implement so that we can follow the instructions by God? Going back to leprosy and what leprosy was deemed to be. Leprosy was deemed to be incurable by man. Incurable by man. The untouchable was incurable. We find ourselves now in a situation where we feel like what's going on in our city, in the city of Chicago, is incurable. We feel like it's hopeless. And I must say, I must say that to the eye it is, but through Christ, all things are possible. I have to but say, like it was lifted up in the Old Testament, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Yeah. So it was incurable. But God was able. Many believe God even inflicted the curse of leprosy upon people for their sins and for the sins that they had committed. In fact, those with leprosy were despised and loathed, and they were not allowed to live in a community with their own people in Numbers 5 and 2. Among the 61 defilements of ancient Jewish laws, leprosy was second only to a dead body in seriousness. A leper wasn't allowed to come within 6 feet of any human, including his own family. The disease was considered so revolting that the leper wasn't permitted to come within 150 feet of anyone when the wind, even when the wind was blowing. Now, that's amazing. They weren't even permitted to come within 150 feet of anyone when the wind was blowing. Lepers lived in a community with other lepers until they either got better or they died. This was the only way the people knew to contain the spread of a contagious form of leprosy. And I venture to say, but here in our scripture, we have a man who's at the feet of Jesus, who's at the feet of Jesus, and said, he said, if you want to, you can make me well again. If you want to. He said, I know that you have the power in your hand to make me heal, to heal me, to make me whole. I know you have the power. But it's a decision of if you want to. If you want to. The sad dilemma that we have in the body of Christ is that the world is not even looking to the church to say, I know you have the answer. I know you have the answer. Because of the situation, because of things that they've seen in the church, we've deluded them. We've given them a disillusionment. We have not been a good representation of who Jesus Christ is in the earth. And so they have turned and went other ways. And in their turning and going another way, a leprosy, this thing has just gotten worse instead of better. There is in the midst of Chicago, there is a leprosy that's going on. There is a leprosy. They confined themselves and contained themselves in the area of Chicago. I was listening to the parameters that they had given to stay off the streets, and they gave a parameter of between Damon Avenue and Cottage Grove. And I want, you know, those of you who are listening who may not be familiar with Chicago, that's a long stretch of road, a long stretch of road. If I had to guesstimate, I would say that it's perhaps 5 miles, definitely more, of miles of them saying, stay off the street. Now, they just give you from 79th, from Damon to Cottage Grove, but they don't give you the parameters that they're talking about from the other end of it. Let me see. I'm trying to think of how does 79th. 79th runs east and west. So they don't tell you how far over north and south. Are you with me? They just tell you along that stretch. Just stay away from that stretch of the road. There is a leprosy that's going on. And when we need to get those who are lepers to begin to find out that there is someone who's able to heal that sickness, heal that disease. There is one who is able to do it. That being Jesus the Christ. That being Jesus the Christ, the high priest. And he has some under shepherds. Hello, somebody. We've been in the church building so long. I can say it. We've been in the church building so long with our programs and the things that we wanted to do and our outreach. Our in-reach is good. If you come in, we can minister to you. But what does our outreach look like? And if our outreach has been effective, how did this leprosy, how did this contagion, how did this thing get so out of control? The people we've deemed untouchable. Untouchable. We only want you to come in when you feel like you're ready to be seen by the priest and you're ready for us to say, okay, you can come in. And then even in that, help me, Holy Ghost, even in that, if they come in and they don't look like what we think they should look like, how kind are we to them? Oh, my God. And so here we have this man in Mark, first chapter, starting with the 40th verse. Here we have this man with leprosy at Jesus' feet and asking Jesus, I know you can heal me. I know that you can heal me. So would you? Would you please find it in your heart and heal me? And then moved with pity, moved with compassion, Jesus touches him. Now keep in mind, you weren't supposed to be touching, you weren't supposed to be having interaction with those who had leprosy because it was a highly contagious disease. But Jesus touches him, and he says, I want to. I desire that you be healed. I desire that you be healed. And then he says, be healed. He makes a statement, be healed. And instantly, the Bible says, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on his way. We have to begin to speak. And, you know, we've been quoting the scripture in the month of October. We were having prayer and we were saying a lot of times that the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent must take it by force. And we begin to speak some things and to begin to make a stand. I came on today twofold to begin to say that if you're in a position whereas you've left those who you've deemed untouchable, you've left them out there to deal with themselves, the lepers to stay with the lepers until they die. Well, they're dying on the street. You've left them to themselves. And you have not tried to redeem them from their sin, even though Christ left the command. He left the commission that we were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To every creature. That thing right there, that'll preach on its own. To every preacher. Can you? Every creature. Yeah. And so we haven't done that. So we need to first and foremost, as the body of Christ, as believers, we first and foremost have to repent for the fact that we've left them out there among themselves to die. Because we deemed them untouchable. And we left them out there to die. And we've got to take responsibility for that. We've got to repent of that. And then, God, we open ourselves up that you will begin to show us how. Give us, oh Lord God, what we need as a plan to re-implement some things so that your word can go forth and heal. The Bible says God sent his word and his word healed. And there is a community in Chicago where they've been left to die. I've watched and I've stated even before the fact of the newspaper articles when I was reading it and the killings that were going on. And I always would find them at the end of it after they say who got killed and where they lived at. And then at the end of the article, they would say they were a documented gangbanger. As if that gave them some type of release or if that should make us feel better because they were a documented gangbanger, as if that was a way of saying, so we're not even going to try to pursue who killed them because they were a documented gangbanger. There was a life. It was a life. It was a life, and it was a life that's been lost. And so we, at the church, we've got to begin to stand up and begin to get in the presence of God so that we can find our Lord. How is it that we can become the light to this leprous world, to this leprous section of a city that is being left to die? How do we, the church, the body of Christ, the light, that sitteth on the hill and can't be hid? How do we begin to part darkness with your light? How do we do it? And so we have to begin to open ourselves up so that the Holy Spirit can begin to show us how to bring healing, how to bring wholeness to a community. So we look at this thing. We look at this thing. Let's look at it again. Let's look at it again. Hallelujah, Jesus. Heal, God. Heal, God. Heal, heal, heal. So we've got this situation. We've got an infectious situation that's going on, and it's beginning to spread like wildfire. So you've got a mother who's mourning the loss of her child. You've got a father who's in a gang and who's trying to be tough, and yet his manhood has been challenged because you took some. dangerous young man right now because his life means nothing right now. He feels like I should give my life because you took my son. And so we have to begin to pray. We have to begin to pray for him. Pray for those who are around him because his mindset is going to spread to those who are around him, and this thing is just going to spiral out of control. And so those of you who are on the line, those of you who know how to war and begin to pray, I pray now that you would begin to stand in intercession for a community. Stand in intercession for Tyshawn's father, his mother, those who are connected, uncles. I don't know who all in the family are connected to this thing, but let's begin to break and to sever an ungodly soul tie. Let's begin to break and to sever a spirit of abandonment. Let's begin to break and sever rejection. Let's begin to break and sever. Hallelujah. Some things that are going on in the mindset of a father. So the Bible records the story of the leper who was first to be healed by Jesus. And the key to the lesson to learn is the incident that sin defiles us in the sight of God. But through Christ, we can be healed. We can be healed of whatever sins. We can be healed of a mindset, of bitterness, of a mindset of wrath, of a mindset of death. We can be healed. We can be healed. And this is not only, I'm using this as an analogy, or I'm using this, you know, as an analogy, but there are other sins, there are other things that we've gotten caught up in, or that our community has gotten caught up in, that God is not pleased with, but we have to begin, and we have to take a stand. My prayer for the church is that we don't step back and look at this situation as hopeless. My prayer for the church is that we won't be like those in Thessalonians say, don't be like those who don't have any hope. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Come on, somebody. And so as we begin to take a stand, don't take down, stand up. Don't take down. Don't take down. Don't let the body of Christ take down and feel like this is a lost cause. But stand up. Let's stand up and begin to teach. Let's stand up and begin to look at some things that God is able to cure sin. He's able to turn that situation around where it's been noted that there are three different gangs in a certain area, that they're fighting for territory, and that the light of Jesus Christ has to be shown in that area. Am I saying that we're going to go out there? No, but I am saying that we need to begin to combat it in prayer. Come on, somebody. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The stronghold of death and murder that is hovering over that area, we can begin to combat that in the spiritual realm and pull it down. But it's going to take a united effort. It's going to take a united effort. I had been asking the question when all of this thing was breaking out, when we kept hearing about it in the same area. I kept saying, that's the same area. And I was like, you know, I saw Father Flager giving his money to try to pay somebody to come forward and tell them who it is. And I'm a student at Christian Counseling Training Institute, and I studied it enough to know that even in that gesture, and a mighty gesture it is, you still just dealing with the fruit. You haven't got to the root. So we're gonna put this money out here to lure people, to turn them in. But what about the jobs that need to come to that area? What about those who haven't finished their education and they can't get a job? They can't get a job because they dropped out of school, and they can't go to school because different gangs are at the school. And it's an infectious problem, but all of this is just the fruit. And so we've got to be, it's a lot of parameters that are taking place. It's a lot of parameters that we've got to, this octopus got a lot of arms. trying to chop off one tentacle, but there are still many other tentacles that are left to be dealt with. So we're dealing with the fruit and not the root. And as Christians, as people of God, we know that the root of the situation is sin. We know that the root of the situation is to bring light to a community that has given up on God, as far as the gangbangers are concerned. And so, again, I want to say that there needs to be education. They need to be educated. They need jobs. The mothers need to be able to have appropriate daycare so that they can work. It's just so many parameters upon parameters that need to be dealt with. And so while we're trying to catch this person that killed this little boy, if we would go to the homicide watch that they've got set up on the suntimes.com and look at all of the faces of people that's been killed. They found somebody and arrested somebody for the model. The young girl who came to visit her grandmother in the city of Chicago, she lived in Evanston. She was gunned down at the bus stop going home. She was at the top of the pivotal of her modeling career, and her life was snuffed out. But then you could see some more faces, the untouchables, the documented gangbangers, who are still yet young people. There are a lot of young people whose lives are being snuffed out, and we've deemed them untouchable. And I can hear a mother cry. I can hear a mother cry for her son, for her son. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. So we just thank you, O Lord God, and we just bless your holy and your divine name. We come against the enemy, every foul and evil spirit, O Lord God, and we just thank you, O God, for the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the resurrecting power of Christ that is even over that area, God, in the name of Jesus, 79th Street, from Damon to Cottage Grove and even beyond, O Lord God. We thank you, O Lord God. We come against territorial spirits now in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord God. We thank you, O Lord God, for what you're able to do, O God. We come against, O Lord God, murder. We come against it now in the name of Jesus. Bitterness and wrath, O God. We come against it now in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord God. And we just even now, God, release angelic protection, O God, to those in the community, O Father God. We release angelic protection, God. We do call on Michael, Gabriel, and Jeriel, O God, to begin to cover, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. We bless you, Father, and we honor you the more and the more and the more, O Lord God. We lift up the police department area, O Lord God. We lift them up, God. We lift up our mayor, the mayor of the city, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We lift up every pastor in that area, O Lord God, that you would give them revelation knowledge, O Lord God, of how to be a cure, O Lord God, to this thing that is spreading like wildfire, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord God. We lift up every pastor. We pray the blood covering even over Father Flager as he makes a stand in a community, O Lord God. We plead the blood over him now in the name of Jesus Christ, God. Make yourself known through the church, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Do it, God, for your glory. And we pray it to be so. And so it is. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he promised that he would hear us. And since we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petition that we set before him on this day. In Jesus' name, it is so, and so it is. Thank you for joining us. We do apologize for that little snippet of whatever sort it was. We thank you for holding on the line as we came back in as quickly as we could. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Be sure to send us any questions, any comments. Email us if you would like to, or send us an email through truthdeliveranceministry@yahoo.com, or you can go to our page on Facebook and send us any questions or comments that you may have. But I adjure you to be in prayer for the city of Chicago, and thus not deem anybody untouchable who God has said, if they touch the hem of his garments, they can be made whole in Jesus' name. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and have a good night. Until next week, may God's greatest and God's best be yours. Good night, everyone.